News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
That's an interesting conversation on the way here. I think we probably, hopefully we'll get to some of the border conversation going on yesterday, which it's almost like, are you saying that with a straight face, as far as Republicans, as far as Democrats, saying that Mayorkas has not been given all the tools he needs to do the job down there. When going in, he was his understanding of what border protection is or should be has always been questionable, for sure. It's amazing he got that gig as the
Homeland Director. Yeah, that he's held on to the job for 3 years now.
Yeah, and, so, and look at the results. We'll get to that coming up. But, you know, just another heart. Go ahead.
Well, I'm just, at least 11 million illegal immigrants. That's the number they're putting out there. So you can imagine how many there actually are. I mean, probably closer to 20, right? If that's the case. But it's really exploded these last few years. And I guess they're pushing on that impeachment for Mayorkas. So we'll see if that goes anywhere as we go into election season.
And it does feel, I mean, am I a fan of Mayorkas? No. Or what he's, you know, it's almost like this was his dream to allow this many people in. Feels like that. It also, you know, things like this are very political. Mm-hmm. They're timed at a certain time. They're trying to, they've decided to go ahead and ramp it up and go for the impeachment now. So anyway, we'll talk about all that.
Also, later this hour, we will be giving away a pair of tickets to see the Senior Bowl on Saturday there at Hancock-Whitney Stadium. Also a pair of VIP armbands to get you into the Counting Crows concert that night after the Senior Bowl. So stay tuned for that. We'll be doing that a little bit later. Big story, I guess, locally is another shooting involving teenagers. This time, a 16-year-old girl, and the shooting happened at LaFleur High School yesterday, LaFleur Magnet High School. What they're reporting is that you have this 16-year-old female, and that she was arguing with a 15-year-old male, a 15-year-old boy, and that this argument was happening in the hallway there, one of the hallways at LaFleur, and she pulled out a gun to shoot the 15-year-old boy. Well, it wasn't a good shot. The bullet grazed him and hit a 17-year-old boy. Authorities said the 17-year-old had nothing to do with the argument, and fortunately, neither injury was life-threatening. The same gunshot injuries for both boys. The girl ran away from the school, I guess, in that instance, and it's interesting, there was a Mobile Police like training going on at the same time yesterday, and they were scheduled to do it today as well.
Zaya Road.
But the spokeswoman for MCPSS, who we hear from often, Renee Phillips, she said, one of the things she said I thought was notable, she said, MCPSS teachers are trained to respond to situations such as this, and those protocols went into effect during the shooting yesterday. Now, it sounds like this was a specific disagreement here between this 16-year-old girl and the 15-year-old boy that she tried to shoot.
Yeah, and the only way to end that disagreement between a 16-year-old and a 15-year-old is to shoot him to death.
Jeez, it's insane. But I wonder how she got away is kind of my question. If you've got an active shooter and they're leaving, I don't know. Many of you have studied those processes more than I. I mean, are you supposed to run after and tackle her? Or if she's leaving, you just let that happen?
I don't think you just let that happen.
I can't wait to see exactly kind of how this all went down yesterday. But she is, of course, on the school level facing expulsion.
Sure.
I would imagine that would be a sure thing.
Yeah.
But criminally, she'll be charged as an adult, also facing two assault charges, one for each student that she injured. And Philip was asking, at what point does it go from assault to attempted murder? It's interesting because District Attorney Keith Blackwood was just talking about that same thing a couple weeks ago. And it's just the levels of evidence or proof you need that it was an attempted murder, that it wasn't spur of the moment, she just showed up, and or the self-defense. So assault is easier to prove than attempted murder. I imagine that's why they're at least starting with assault charges. So assault, also she's facing charges of possessing a deadly weapon on school grounds and shooting a gun in a building. Now, Mobile Police Chief Paul Prine spoke about this yesterday, and he was discussing kind of, well, where she went after the shooting. Here's Prine.
Well, what I can tell you is that the juvenile responsible for the shooting made her way to a relative's house out west Mobile, and with the police department cooperating and working with the parents, we were able to coordinate that pickup with the parents to get her brought into police headquarters.
So, you know, done relatively quickly, getting her arrested, and non-violently, apparently, the apprehension.
But your question, how did she do that? I thought it happened, well, initially. I certainly, as I looked over the story, it was apparent it happened inside the school.
Mm-hmm.
I could have seen it more. I could have seen, you know.
If it was in the parking lot.
Yeah, you know, where you had a little, where you could, maybe the gun was in the car or whatever. But so she was inside the school when it happened, and how it was that she was able to get away. Not
find a ride to West Mobile.
Yeah, get out to West Mobile.
Yeah.
And once again, I've got some audio from Sandy Stimson here, who he showed up because he said, we need to continue to expand this conversation. And at this point, well, there's policing being done. I guess, you know, everybody's trying something. Stimson was there to talk about the problem of gun violence among young teenagers, often in the black community, and he just said, it's going to take everybody, and I will come back here anytime and talk about that all over again to drive that point home.
It's like so many people, when you hear about any shooting, especially with students shot, and when it's in a school, I mean, it's just the outrage, the anger of how can this happen? How do we allow it to continue to happen? And, you know, we've said time and again, we can't police our way out of challenges like this. It's going to take the community, it takes the family, it takes the church, and it takes everybody.
Mm, takes everybody. And just the, you know, again, the attitude that this is the way we resolve this dispute between a 16-year-old and a 15-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the process. I disagree with you, I'm threatened by you, or whatever, and I will shoot you. That's not the way life's supposed to work.
And I guess it could be gang-related. I mean, that would be more rare than two boys shooting at each other would be considered more likely to be gang-related. But it's also, I think, possible this was like a relationship that they were having issues in. Mm-hmm. It'd be easy to see that being the case here. But yeah, how did she get out of there? And then as far as the response, you played Stimson there, and this happened while all of this talk is going on about violence, youth violence, yeah, in Mobile and, yeah, around Mobile.
We're having events to address it. It seems like every week something's, mm-hmm, happening that's admitting we've got a big problem here, now what to do, and it's happening in the midst of that.
So Councilman Corey Penn, who actually went to LaFleur, yep, and he's been, I don't know if it's fair to say he's been leading the charge on at least this specific conversation. Remember, he wanted to put together kind of a guidelines book. I forget they're going to put together all this information and a plan on how to lead this generation out of being so violent.
Yep.
And Corey Penn has kind of taken the lead on that. He said he's there to support the community at his alma mater. And Mayor Stimson said he supports Penn on any plans moving forward. I did think it was interesting. We got a comment from the superintendent of Baldwin County Public Schools on this, Eddie Tyler. I have not seen comment, and if you have, point me in that direction. I'm looking right now. I have not seen Kressel Threadgill. I see it right here.
He has a statement now.
He said that they were working with police to ensure the matter is fully investigated. Threadgill said, incidents such as this are not tolerated, and as superintendent, I want to assure our parents and community that this matter will be handled to the fullest extent as allowed by law. Both school personnel and law enforcement responded quickly to the incident and worked collaboratively to secure the school and to keep other students, faculty, and staff safe. He said the school system will be reviewing all safety protocols and procedures and will make adjustments as needed to prevent something like this from happening again. So, props to Kressel Threadgill. He did put a statement out there. He said it was an unfortunate event. The injured students are in stable condition. We will continue to keep the students and their families in our thoughts and prayers. Still, though, Eddie Tyler commenting, I thought, was interesting. Baldwin County superintendent, he said, school violence is an issue we deal with every day, and in fact, all educators are dealing with it across Alabama and across the country. Schools must be a safe place for children, and we will do anything we can to support Mobile County in this difficult time and mission.
I I would say that Eddie Tyler put out that statement. He's probably aware of problems in Baldwin County as well.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing's kind of boiled over the top yet. But this is, you don't cross the bay and it's gone. They're probably dealing with the threat of things or you know, gangs as well. Things that he understands could just as easily
mm-hmm.
happen there.
So his statement's kind of like, we're in this together.
Exactly. I like that. But I think he's proactively saying, we may need you sometime, mm-hmm. you know?
I guess, yeah, you're right. It's like being there for your buddy.
Yeah.
Say, hey, I'm here. I'm checking on you.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah, I think
that makes sense. And it's letting the people of Baldwin County know, hey, I'm very well aware that this could happen over here, too.
Yeah, without just flat admitting it. But,
right.
But I think all school administrators, this has got to be the and, you know, whatever your school district is, if it's a county or a city school district, you realize this culture is happening. This culture is evolving in the wrong way or devolving with these kids and the gun violence. And you're aware that it could be your problem as quick as that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well said. Looking at the text line, Michael says, bad wreck southbound on I-65 at the Cottage Hill overpass. We'll have more on that and traffic later. Southbound 65 at the Cottage Hill overpass. He also said, with regards to all the kids' shootings, we need to stop thinking that all youth resort to violence. There's one racial community that does and one that doesn't. Until that's addressed, this won't be fixed. And, yeah, I don't think all youth resort to violence. That's not what I'm saying there at all. What we have seen a lot lately is it's teenagers, and it's usually black men that have been doing these shootings. But, you know, I just saw a shooting that was reported last night. I think it was a Wilmer man. He was a white guy, and he was shooting into a house. So it does happen, right?
Yeah, yeah, it does.
But most of the cases we've seen, I will say, have tended to be in the black community. And I'm guessing that was the case yesterday, but not 100% confirmed on that yet.
Yeah, and what's the scary thing is the black community is our community. The black community and the white community, we're not always shoulder to shoulder, but in the city of Mobile, often we are, mm-hmm. right? At events and even in neighborhoods. And so when you say the black community, it's not like 50 years ago where there was one side of town where it was blacks only and one side of town where it was whites only. So it's affecting the entire community.
GC on the border crisis says Biden says he can't do anything else at the border. Try this. Close the damn border. We'll get into the border crisis here in just a little bit. Philip, as far as the difference in attempted murder and assault charges, said she didn't spur of the moment pack a gun. Yeah, no, I agree. I agree. There was an intent of some sort there, but I guess it's what's provable, right? And they want the slam dunk rather than taking a shot at a charge that might not stick. Pat says, you train to protect others, not put your life in danger by chasing someone with a gun when you don't have a gun. I imagine that's what happened yesterday. The shooting happens. She scrams. Everyone, or if there was anyone who witnessed, said, okay, she's leaving. We're just going to lock down the premises or whatever.
Yep.
I imagine that's what happened. And this texter says, why don't we have military-style boot camps for these juveniles anymore? They obviously don't know how to act or what to do. They need some sort of direction if they don't have any parents in the home. I think we're just looking the other way when it comes to giving them stern direction.
Wow. That's an actual answer right there. That's a thoughtful reply. 820 Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5. What is up, Dio?
I think it's time we give away some tickets to the Senior Bowl this weekend.
Good.
Noon kickoff, Senior Bowl, Hancock-Whitney Stadium. Just over 3 days away. And then that same night, we have a pair of VIP passes for you to see the Counting Crows at 8 p.m. at Mardi Gras Park after the Mardi Gras parades. Caller number three, since we're 3 days away, caller number three gets a pair of tickets to the Senior Bowl and a pair of VIP passes to see Counting Crows on Saturday night at Mardi Gras Park. A lot going on and events tonight. So, of course, you have practice, day two of practice for the Senior Bowl coming up. National team will be on the field first at Hancock-Whitney at 9:30 this morning. They'll practice till 11:30, and then at noon, the American team will get going until about 2. Of course, that'll be on the NFL Network also. And then events-wise, Philip Rivers will be at Moe's Original Barbecue downtown for a special spectators Senior Bowl reunion. It's for seriously ill children.
Oh, wow.
And they get all access college football game day experiences. And Philip Rivers will be talking with them there tonight at Moe's. Also, the FCA rally, which I used to just absolutely every year live for the FCA rally. We'd come down from Clark Prep,
yep,
take the bus down to the convention center, park, go in, and then watch these college athletes who we've been watching on TV for years, mm-hmm, talk with us and also, you know, spread the message of God. One of the best days of the year, every year for me, going to see the FCA rally. And that's tonight. They're having it says the Civic Center, so I don't know if they moved it over from the convention center to the Civic Center. And then, of course, the player parade, that'll be on February 2nd. So that's coming up on Friday before the game on Saturday. The player parade downtown, and that's at 6 p.m. on Friday and free.
Well, this kind of sounds weird on the day of the FCA rally, but I was planning on taking Ladd McConkey to lunch at Hooters. So, you know, the devil and the angel.
The Hooters rally.
I haven't heard back from Ladd, uh-huh, so it's not like a sure thing.
Yeah. Would he have been, if the game were still at Ladd Peebles, would he have been the first Ladd to play at Ladd Peebles?
Probably not. But
probably not.
It'd be in the single digits. I'm quite sure.
Yeah. Did you see this? And we'll get to the text line, and I also want to talk about Biden and the border and all that as well, and Iran, what we're going to do about those attacks. But facial recognition in airports, it's already become a small thing, but it's becoming an even bigger deal. And now the TSA, the Transportation Security Administration.
Yes, they're right in the middle of it, right?
Yeah, they said they're moving forward plans to implement facial recognition technology at airports, and they're currently working with the Department of Homeland Security's research and development component to analyze data and ensure that the new units are working correctly. I just think of China anytime I see facial recognition technology, or I think of some of the sci-fi movies over the years. A TSA official said the agency is, quote, currently in the beginning stages of integrating automated facial recognition capability as an enhancement to the credential authentication technology devices that had been deployed several years ago. The latest CAT scanners, which are known as CAT 2 units.
Yeah, these are the second generation right
these
here.
These are some bad boys right here. They incorporate facial recognition technology and take real-time pictures of travelers, then compare those images against their photo IDs. There's been times where I look very little like my photo ID. Like, you get a few years in where it's about time to renew. There's a lot of people that don't look like their ID.
Yeah.
TSA first rolled out those units in 2020. Then they began deploying the new screeners at airports in 2022, and they said they're deployed at 30 airports nationwide, but they're expanding to more than 400 federalized airports over the coming years. Currently, it's optional. Travelers can agree to the facial recognition screening, and I don't know if it's faster or if it's less awkward. You don't have that person staring, looking at you while they hold their ID. But it is optional now. We'll see if it remains optional, or maybe in 2 years you go out to any airport, fly out of Mobile International, and you go through facial recognition scanner to start with.
Isn't that crazy? And you're right, when my license gets a few years in, like, I got a new license, might have been this past fall, I don't know. It's a new picture ID, and the one from 5 years ago, kind of had it together. I mean, if you just take one snapshot and say, how's this guy look to you?
Yeah.
Like, hey, I think I looked pretty, you know, okay. And then they told me, don't smile, you know, if they relinquished that.
Yeah.
And so now my new ID, I'll show it to you. I look like a guy yelling at a kid in my yard. I look like an angry guy on trick-or-treat night.
Yeah.
It's an old curmudgeon, somebody you would never want to associate with. And 5 years ago, I'm all smiles and ready to go down to Mardi Gras and have a good time. 5 years will do that to you. It's 8:30 FM Talk 106.5 with Dan and Dalton.
934 FM Talk 106.5 Rally Green, bringing us back here, coming to a Floribama near you for spring break. And it is a Wednesday. Right now it's time to head over to McConnell Automotive and talk with Louie Arata. Hey, Louie.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
Hey, we're doing great. Some really nice weather this week. Looking good for Senior Bowl Saturday. And, of course, we've got a lot of Mardi Gras parades as well. And it's a good time to get over to McConnell Automotive. The inventory's looking good. The body shop's looking good. You guys are rolling on all cylinders.
That's right. The inventory is looking great. In fact, it's growing on the new car side. We got a bunch of brand-new trucks come in, a bunch of brand-new Yukons and Yukon XLs, and give us a call, 251-476-4141, if you're interested in any of those. We got a bunch of great-looking used cars out front. You can check a lot of that stuff out online at McConnellAutomotive.com. We got some used pickups. We got some certified, GM certified sitting out there, which gives you an extra 12-12 on the factory warranty and bumps the powertrain up to 100,000 miles. And we're going to be here, like I said, it's going to be a beautiful week. Beautiful weekend. Hopefully that rain will stay out of here for Saturday night, and we'll be here and having a good old time.
That's for sure. Thank you, Louie.
Thank you.
That's Louie Arata. Go see him at McConnell Automotive on Dolphin Street, just east of I-65, and, of course, that website, McConnellAutomotive.com.
All righty, 836 on Mobile Mornings. What is it like to be Mayorkas right now? And I can't quite get into that, guys. Head anyway, so maybe I don't have a clue. I do know that there's evidence from way back when that he had this certain opinion, I guess you would say, of the Mexican border, and you know, he was like, it existed on like a globe in your classroom, but mm-hmm. other than that, and then this is back in the 2006 or 7 where he made statements like that, and now, you know, he was Biden's choice to be the border czar in a way, although that, mm-hmm. that went to Kamala. But the
DHS.
Yeah, DHS, the Department of Homeland Security. Of all people, there he is. And now finally, they've, it's like the cavalry has run him down.
Yeah.
And they he's under a lot of pressure right now. And of course, they're moving forward with these articles of impeachment.
Yeah, who knows if the Republicans, what their biggest trophy of this cycle will have been. Like, will it end up being Hunter Biden and Joe Biden? Do they go down with these Republican investigations?
Do the Democrats let them go down?
Yeah, good question. Or does Mayorkas end up being the trophy that mm-hmm. That they're able to get? Because it does seem that they're going to move forward on that. I would imagine, you said, what is it like to be Mayorkas right now? Well, based on all the statements that they put out, I think he just thinks he's the victim. And you see that on both sides of the aisle. It's just victim mentality through and through all the time. And he's saying, you know...
same with Cori Bush, by the way.
Yeah.
She's a victim.
But I'm sure he feels he's, you know, the victim of the Biden administration maybe putting him in a bad position to where he's kind of forced into being the face of this mm-hmm. of this incredible crossing of illegal aliens over the border. So I'm sure he's not happy with them. You see the statements they put out where they blame the Trump administration
yep.
or they blame the Republicans.
Currently.
Yeah. So I think he's just thinking he did nothing wrong and that he's being politically persecuted and that he's just in a bad position, wrong place, wrong time. That's probably what's going through his head right now.
Amazing how highly educated people can look at a situation or an event or whatever or a thing, and the one will say, well, I'm looking at a frog, and the other one will say, I'm looking at a coyote. You don't know what you're talking about.
Right.
It's amazing that the level of disagreement on things that seem to be at face value pretty clear. Do you have the cut from Swalwell talking yeah. about the Republican side of all this?
Here's Swalwell, yeah.
California.
Yeah, here's Swalwell.
And any shortcomings that Mayorkas may have, frankly, are your fault. He's asking for authorities to do more, to have more border agents, to have more resources.
Yeah, and it's all rhetoric, right? Democrats say they've got a plan, and the Republicans just won't vote for better border security. But mm-hmm. what they're calling border security will actually not be what most Americans want. They'd yeah. still, and this Lankford plan, this Republican from Oklahoma who got together with these Democrats, from what they've leaked about his bipartisan plan, mm-hmm. no Republican wants that. He might be the only Republican who wants that, to the point where the Oklahoma GOP has censured him.
I was going to say, I mean, that's a curious place to be wishy-washy on the border. You've only got Texas in between you and the border. Mm-hmm. I'm sure Oklahoma is feeling the effects of the border. I'm sure cities like Oklahoma City and Tulsa are feeling the effects mm-hmm. of what's going on at the border.
And the Oklahoma governor was the first to jump in on Abbott's side after the Supreme Court ruling, and where Abbott pushed back and said, no, we're going to keep security at the border. And Oklahoma said, we back you over the federal government
that was
in
the
this case.
First state to do that.
So, but you've got Lankford, who put together what, and maybe it's the only reasonable, and I don't even think it's reasonable, maybe it's the only thing that he could come up with that the Democrats would agree to put into writing, but reinforcing Title 42 or whatever the new form of it, but only after you get to 4,000 to 5,000 crossers a day. It's ridiculous. And to add an additional 50,000, I think it was it 50 or 500,000 green cards, it is not what Republicans have been asking for and have been protesting for months, and it was a Republican who helped put that plan together.
Yeah.
But you had yesterday Biden. I don't know if Mayorkas said anything yesterday, but what he said in front of the Marine One, so you couldn't hear him. We've got the audio, but you can't hear what he's saying, where he's talking about the attacks in Jordan, but also he talked about the border, and he said, I've done all I can do to secure the border. So the House Speaker...
Did you say to screw up the border? Oh, to secure the border.
Secure. He said secure, I think. House Speaker Mike Johnson said, that's simply not true. So Biden said, I've done all I can do. Just give me the power. I've asked from the very day I got into office. Give me the Border Patrol. Give me the people, the judges, give me the people who can stop this and make it work right. So Johnson, the House Speaker, gets on Twitter, where else, X. He says, that is simply untrue. He's either lying or misinformed. And then he listed just a few of the authorities at Biden's disposal, if he would only use them, including the presidential authority to restrict entry, expedited removal, discretionary detention authority, mandatory detention. And Johnson said, no more excuses. But Johnson's saying all you have are excuses. Earlier this month, remember, Biden did say the border is not secure and that they needed massive changes. It's kind of his campaign, one of the smaller planks of his campaign that they don't really want to talk about often.
Yep.
But it's something they have to bring up because now a majority of Americans really see the border as a problem.
Yeah, so that's changing their tactics, I guess, just completely poll-driven, politically driven. That's why Biden's catching so much heat about what's going on, what happened over the weekend with those three service members being killed, because is he making decisions based on what's the right thing to do here, or is he making decisions that are affected by the polls and American public opinion? Republicans early today, they've been busy. They got up as early as us, Dalton. Early today, they forwarded a resolution to boot Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas from his post over the objections of Democrats who say the GOP has failed to meet the bar for impeachment. They didn't say, yeah, Mayorkas sucks. They almost were like, hey, it's not, you haven't gotten it that far yet.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But they didn't say that, but, you know, Mayorkas is really great at his job. I think that's pretty interesting, too. And maybe they haven't. I don't know what all those rules mean or are, but they are aggressively moving on it. And maybe it's just politically to shine this light one more time on it and just make sure that everybody is aware of it. And I think now you're starting to get some payback from that. You're starting to get the American public beginning to say, you know what?
Mm-hmm.
And I think part of it, too, is just so partisan. You have Americans that if a Republican says it, well, the heck with those guys. That's not true. They're not going to believe it because they're not facing it necessarily, and they don't really trust what the Republicans say. They think everything is a Trojan horse. Everything is trying to, you know, get one in on our side.
Yeah.
And so if we're at the point, to you and I, the story's been obvious for 3 years, but to many Americans, independents and or certainly Democrats, they don't want to hear that. They just don't trust the voices they hear on Fox News.
Mm-hmm.
Just
from Texas or where. Yeah.
Exactly. And so we have a a lack of trust from the liberal point of view, they feel the same way. Now, is it being because there's more of it being shown on MSNBC or CNBC or CNN that the border crisis is now more on NBC? Is it being presented in a way where, hey, you know what? There is a problem down here, and those guys weren't fibbing about that.
No, I think it's become a bigger issue just because of Abbott and DeSantis busing and flying these illegal immigrants to liberal enclaves. Mm-hmm. I think that was a major move that actually worked, just like they had planned. And I think that put it more on the national radar, and then you end up having liberal leaders complaining to the federal government. I do think that worked. I didn't think it was going to work, but it worked exactly how I would imagine Abbott would have liked to see it work, putting it on the national radar. Ed, let's get some text, and then we'll talk with Jeff Poor here in a couple minutes. Regarding the shooting at LaFleur, he said, so where did the gun come from? Her parents or bought on the street? Surely she has anger issues, and I'm sure parents knew it. Yeah, I don't know. We're still waiting on a lot of the information regarding that shooting at LaFleur yesterday. We were talking about Baldwin County schools and Mobile County schools and law enforcement as well. And this texter says, Baldwin County actually enforces laws. They make more arrests than Mobile. I'm not sure that's accurate. Maybe per capita? I don't know. But said, everyone knows that you cannot mess around in Baldwin County. Years ago, New York City policed itself into a less dodgy city. It is possible. MPD is just not accepting responsibility for allowing small crimes to go unpoliced, which leads to bigger crimes. I agree. The broken window theory, but also there's only so much ground that so many officers can cover. So sometimes smaller crimes do go I don't think they're doing it intentionally, but if you're asking an officer to either cover an attempted robbery or, I don't know, some much lower level offense, I think most people would agree you'd want both to be enforced, but you would prefer they get after the robbery first than the smaller offense. So there's only so much you can do when you're down officers. And I don't know, maybe Baldwin County is more strict in their enforcement. I don't know if that's the case, but appreciate the text there. Gardner says, why don't they use facial recognition at the border? That would be nice, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
I guess they'd need a lot of different cameras for different spots along the border. Gardner also, regarding the shooting, said, it's hard for me to believe that violent video games, movies, and songs, that those don't desensitize young people to the point that violence seems normal, if not expected, by peers. Discipline that isn't strong enough to deter people and that has even lesser penalties for youth will never change this trend.
I'll tell you what, Gardner makes great points there. And desensitizes youth, they just... Kids are accepting this is the way it is. Kids are also feel like they are threatened. Everybody's got guns.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody's got a gun. And you say, well, I've got to have a gun for protection. So if all these kids are armed or have access to a gun, they're living a way different teenage life than you and I did. I feared confrontation. I knew that you could have a scuffle with somebody, things go awry. And
that'd just be, you would think, a busted nose, maybe an injured arm or leg, right?
A little shot to the pride, you know?
Yeah.
But that seemed serious enough to me as a kid coming along, a colt turning into a horse, trying to figure it all out. But they're doing it with a see behind the supermarket at 3:15, they're doing it with guns.
Yeah.
And now this one's so brazen inside the school itself. Wow.
Yeah. This is a turning point yesterday. We talked a lot about shootings, youth-involved shootings. It's been a while since we've had one inside a school.
Yeah. I think there was one, might have been a suicide, at Davidson at an assembly 10, 12 years ago. It's 8:49. We'll talk with our friend Jeff Poor straight ahead.
FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. Talking with Jeff Poor here in just a second. This segment brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK, making junk disappear, and they've been doing it on both sides of the bay for over 15 years now. Trey Bennett has a fantastic crew, and over 245 five-star Google reviews from real people who are from around here and really like what 1-800-GOT-JUNK does. They'll be in and out in no time. You can get on with your day, whether you have them come out to your business or your residence. They'll make that junk disappear and then be on their way. You call them today or go online for your appointment availability, and you can get a free on-site estimate with all-inclusive pricing and no hidden fees. They don't hit you with surprise charges after all the work is done. And very often, you can get same-day service. They'll call when they're on the way. So set that appointment up today. You can do it by dialing the number 1-800-GOT-JUNK, or you can do the same thing online at 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com.
Jeff Ford, the Jeff Ford Show, is on the way next. They're getting like a lot of Alabama political talk, including Jeff, you've got new poll numbers for us?
Yeah, so these were kind of leaked to me from a political strategist, if you will. Mm-hmm. But showing Dick Brubaker in the high 20s, Albright in the mid teens, and Carolyn Dobson, who I thought would be do a lot better, single digits. Hmm. But Brubaker really, if you believe this poll, really starting to open up a lead.
Yeah, that's GOP District 2, which we were going to get into, but now we can lead off the conversation with that. I'm seeing more, you know, whatever it means, some Dick Brubaker yard signs around.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, people are, I guess. Who's the wear of Dick Brubaker in Mobile, Jeff?
I don't know. People listen to this show is all my show is all I can figure. Yep. I mean, he's not a Mobile guy at all.
No, so when I saw that, I was like, oh, that's something to talk to Jeff about.
But if he's in the upper 20s, and who'd you say was in the mid-teens?
Albritton.
Greg Albritton.
Yeah, he's barely lifted a finger.
But that still leaves a bunch of undecideds, right?
So the thing about Senator Albritton, he has a built-in name ID. He has been around politics for a long, long time. Mm-hmm. So that may work to his advantage.
Wow.
Jeff, also, we got the State of the State coming up on the same night that they gavel in for the legislative session. I thought it was interesting you were writing about ALDOT and all of these discussions we've had about the West Alabama Corridor and how they decide to work on what, and maybe the legislature taking more of that into their own hands.
I mean, these lawmakers chronically complain about ALDOT, and John Cooper holds this over their head. Like, look, you either play ball with this administration, be it the Bentley administration or the Ivey administration, and you do what we tell you to do, or we're going to just cancel your road project. Well, I think you mess around with the legislature enough. I feel like they would be compelled to say, well, we'll just pass a law saying you're going to build the highway where we want you to.
Mm, yeah, well, would that be... Are you passing a law to now take away the power from ALDOT for good, or what would that law look like?
I would say just do it on an individual project-by-project basis. Mm. It's been done before. 45 from Mobile all the way to the Mississippi State line was by statute designated to be a four-lane highway at one time. And 2 years later, this was the gas tax increase in the 1990s. 2 years later, after they passed that increase and had that built into plan, they took it out. So it's not unheard of for the Alabama legislature. And Roger Bedford, who used to be the leader in the Senate, used to be notorious for this, for them to say, hey, you're going to do our road projects that we want you to, ALDOT. And, the way ALDOT's running now, where the bureaucracy has so much power, why would the legislature do this?
Yeah, if you've got the power to do it, do it. And in wrestling, they call that a reversal. So
they'd set that would set us up for a good little conflict within the session. Which
they're trying to avoid that, but that's where I think this heads.
Okay.
Coming up on the Jeff Poor Show, hour number one, State Representative Donna Givens. And hour number two, Joey Clark joins the show. And then hour number three, GOP Chairman for the State, John Wall.
Out of time, Jeff. Thanks a bunch.
Thanks for having me on.
All right, Dan Dalton, yeah, go ahead, man.
Jeff Poor Show's on the way, and we'll be back tomorrow morning at 6.